This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission held an environmental scoping meeting for the Mountain Valley Pipeline last night at Jackson's Mill in Lewis County. As Jesse Wright reports, the vast majority of those who spoke don't want to see the pipeline built.
Harrison County landowner Autumn Long says she's concerned about several aspects of the project, including environmental damage. But she also spoke against the idea that the project might supply West Virginian homes and businesses with gas, as she says has been suggested in a report the pipeline company filed about the project.
MVP officials and FERC officials has repeatedly said that the size and pressure of this pipeline would preclude it from feeding into local transmission lines. So it's misleading to insinuate that this gas would be available for local consumption.
15 people spoke during the meeting. Greg Hefner was the only one who offered support for the pipeline. He spoke on behalf of First Energy and the Harrison County Economic Development Corporation.
Construction of this project will support thousands of jobs and significant economic activity throughout the region. It will generate significant amount of tax revenue for local governments to support local schools, roads, and other important priorities.
Gas company EQT and its partners are in the planning phase of the 300-mile, 42-inch diameter natural gas transmission line. The Mountain Valley Pipeline's proposed route would begin in Wetzel County in West Virginia and end in Pittsylvania County in Virginia. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, must first approve the company's application to build the pipeline. Tuesday's meeting was the third of four the commission is holding in West Virginia to gather information about potential environmental impacts of the project. The last meeting is scheduled for tonight at 7 p.m. at Nicholas County High School. Sign up for those who wish to speak begins at 6 p.m. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jesse Wright in Weston.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:46. Mostly sunny skies today. Temperatures in the 60s, clear overnight with lows in the 40s. Partly sunny on Thursday with temperatures in the 60s and 70s.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the New River Gorge Regional Development Authority, working to diversify the economy in the New River Gorge region of West Virginia. Information at nrgrda.org.
Continue our look at bills passed by the 2015 legislative session in our occasional series, Effective from Passage. This morning, we look at House Bill 2005 to clarify and update alternative programs for the education of teachers. The bill passed the House on February 10th. It passed the Senate on March 14th, the final day of the session, and was signed by Governor Tomlin on April 2nd. The new law goes into effect July 1st. It allows people who don't have a traditional education degree to become a classroom teacher. Primarily, it allows the organization Teach for America to place its recruits in West Virginia schools. In West Virginia Focus magazine this month, reporter Shay Mons features a cover article about this controversial teaching option. She joins us in our studio. How did you approach this story on Teach for America? What did you want to know going in?
Really, when I set out to do the story, I just wanted to explain Teach for America, TFA, to West Virginia audiences in as comprehensive a way as possible. It's a really controversial program, and we don't have any experience with it here yet at all. In a lot of parts of the country, they've been talking about it for years because it's been operating there for years, and we don't have any of that background. So I thought, you know, people have been talking about it for years, we should kind of hear what they have to say about it and know what they've been doing. So I wanted to kind of tell the good and the bad and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. You traveled to Kentucky, where there are Teach for America teachers.
Yes, I did.
What do they say about the program?
The teacher that I spent the most time with, he loved the program. He was a first-year teacher. He describes his first year as a whirlwind. I imagine that any first-year teacher describes that first year as a whirlwind. But he was really committed to what he was doing. He really felt like, I don't want to say that he felt like he was making a difference, yet, but I think he felt like he was doing something that mattered, which was kind of why he got into the program. A lot of them, you know, these young recruits, they are kind of in it to change the world. They want to help solve the education inequity problem in the country, and they often feel like they're doing that. And I think Michael and Luke, the TFA teachers who I talked to the most, they really did feel like that. Luke, one of them, even was staying on for a third year past his two-year commitment, which is kind of a big deal, you know? You go to Eastern Kentucky in the middle of nowhere, and you're committed to 2 years, and then you say, I want to keep doing this. That, you know, seems significant to me and to him and to his principal, who was really happy to have him staying.
It would be interesting to find out how many Teach for America recruits actually do stay on and become full-time teachers and do that as a career. Do we know?
Yeah, there's a 2015 study that's, like, you know, often cited. And they polled TFA teachers who said, and 87% of them said that they don't plan to be teachers for the rest of their careers. And you can compare that to traditionally certified teachers, their peers, and 26% of them say that they don't plan to be teachers forever. So, you know, most of them aren't going into it thinking this is a route toward a full-time career in education. But two-thirds of them do end up working in the education field in some way. And TFA data also shows that when they poll them coming in, only 1 in 10 say that they think they'll go on to work in education. So it's a big shift over those 2 years. It's like a significant experience in their life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alternative certification for teachers has been discussed in West Virginia literally for decades. And the West Virginia Education Association and the American Federation of Teachers, West Virginia, always managed to push it back. But in the 2015 legislature with Republican control, it was certainly a more welcoming environment to alternative certification for teachers. Now, you write in your article, teachers' unions did argue against the bill and got their way on a few details. One provision that was added says teachers with alternate certification can only fill positions that have already been posted twice and haven't received applications from traditionally certified teachers. That tells me these are the jobs that nobody else wants.
Yep, exactly. That was the hope, is that if we're going to bring in these, you know, alternatively certified teachers, they should only take the jobs that no one else, you know, will take.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. These teachers are paid by the county school systems, and then the county school systems have to pay Teach for America a fee. Tell us about that.
Yeah, they call it a recruiting fee, I think. So they pay the teachers a normal salary, and then they pay TFA that fee. I believe in one of the counties I was in Kentucky, it was something like $3,000, though I think that varies by region or by, according to the contract, they negotiate their contract with each individual school district. So there's some wiggle room there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're still often cheaper than a veteran teacher would be. Though I will say, plenty of principals say that they would rather have a TFA teacher than no one at all, or even maybe another first-year teacher, but no one says they'd rather have them than, like, a, you know, 10th-year teacher. Yeah.
How many Teach for America teachers are out there in the country?
So there are more than 10,000 core members nationally. That's TFA teachers. They're in 3,000 schools. TFA says that they're affecting 615,000 students. They've been around since 1990.
Your article makes no real conclusion. I suppose you want your readers to conclude whether or not a controversial program seeks to solve West Virginia's teacher shortage problem and if it's going to work. Do you have any sense?
I think, you know, I went back and forth on this, you know, so much when I was reporting it. I was trying to be objective, of course, because I'm a reporter, I'm a journalist, and I wanted to stay objective. But I was also flip-flopping back and forth the whole time I was reporting because everything that anyone told me made so much sense, you know? I don't think that everyone has great intentions. We're all just trying to help the children. And people just have different ideas about how to do that. I also think you can, I will say that I think that you can criticize Teach for America a lot, and a lot of those criticisms are valid, but when you talk to administrators in school systems in some of our neediest districts, like in McDowell County, they really, really need teachers. And they're the ones who are saying, we don't have the luxury to say no to this program.
Shay Mons, the article is Teach for America, The Answer. It is the feature article in West Virginia Focus for the May and June edition. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.